This episode is brought to you by the free graphic of the week from Church Media HQ, where we send you a new social, sermon, or seasonal graphic, including editable source files, every week for a full year. If you haven't signed up for the free graphic of the week yet, what are you waiting for? It really is completely free, and I've heard a bunch of churches tell me that this is a very helpful resource. So make sure that you sign up for the free graphic of the week at churchmediahq.com. That's churchmediahq.com. Recently, I finished up a conversation with Jeremy Lenentine in our recent episodes where we were talking about this idea of doing community outreach at your church in a way that might be more unique, that actually goes into the community and helps and reaches people in unique ways. And Jeremy wanted to continue that conversation, and so he was able to connect with some of his pastor friends and talk to them a little bit more about this idea. And the reason I love this episode is because this is generally just pastors and guys that are actually doing this week to week. I'm not included in this conversation. It's just these guys talking about it, and it's really awesome to hear their perspective and just really hear from guys, again, that are doing it week to week. And so I'm really excited to share this with you. And so I'm going to turn it over to Jeremy here in just a bit. My name is Luke Clayton, and welcome to Church Media HQ.
You've done some community events. So you could, if you could just talk about this, what led you to start wanting to do this, right? And kind of what was your entry moment, revelation of like, okay, hey, this really works. This is a gold mine in doing this. Cause I know you're fully committed to it. You're several years in now into doing these community events. And then just kind of walk us into like how you led your church into developing and having a heart to head in that direction.
I came from a very conservative background where door knocking was not only the best way, it was the only way. If you didn't do door knocking, then my background of church would say you're doing something wrong. If it's not just downright, you're unbiblical and ungodly, and God will never grow your church if you don't do door knocking. I was fully sold into that. I did door knocking for most of my young ministry. I was in as an intern in part-time ministry since 2002. Didn't start full-time for 2007 and was the director of door knocking and outreach at multiple churches, was there every Saturday. I mean, I was the guy doing it. And then I came to Connecticut, and it was pretty obvious pretty fast that what worked, because it's not that door knocking doesn't work, but what worked fairly well in the locations God had me previously, Virginia and Florida, wasn't working so well in Connecticut. I again came as originally the assistant pastor, oversaw door knocking, got a team together, mapping out the community, marking off the streets that we were going on. Sometimes it was just leaving stuff. Sometimes it was knocking and talking. And after a couple of years, I just realized it's not that God can't use this. And it's not that it's unbiblical to go door knocking. I started questioning, is it the only way to reach the community? At the time, I was only assistant pastor. And unfortunately, some things happened where the door knocking just went to the wayside and we had nothing. There was really no community outreach for about 3 years at least at this church. We were kind of introverted as a body of believers. In 2016, I became the lead pastor and was focusing on the needs of our people. There was a lot of hurt going on from previous things with the previous pastor. Don't need to get into on this podcast. And after a couple of years, about 2018-19, God laid on my heart again, we got to get back out there. The people's needs had been met. The hurt had been healed, and we've got to start reaching the community. But I knew that door knocking wasn't the way. So it was not an overnight decision. It was kind of prayerfully considering, how does this look? So we tried different things. We tried getting in the local parades, and it was kind of helpful. But to be honest, you got, you know, dozens of people in the parades and you're one of dozens and dozens. And if that's the only way you're getting involved, it wasn't overly exciting for the community. What it did do is start the process of our church recognizing there's a bigger world out there than us. And so I came to the realization that the parades were more for my members than the community. And it was more for the benefit of my members to go outside their comfort zone and to hold flags. And we'd pass out tracts as they went down the parades. I don't think we ever saw anyone visit from the parades, but I saw in our members, there began to be a spark of, hey, we can do more. And that's where we started, really, was the parades. And then after about a year or two of that, I sat down with my pastoral staff and we decided that we really need to make a valiant effort to show the community we love them. And this is where it made sense for me, as I just realized I got to forget and ignore completely what other churches have been doing and told me I had to do. And I went back to scripture and just said, what did Christ do? And when I look at Christ, the answer is obvious. Christ is healing and doing miracles. Christ is loving and going to houses. Christ is having conversations. Yes, Christ did send the apostles on two occasions that we see out, you might say, door knocking, really from city to city. That's only a couple of occasions. A whole lot more. He was in the community doing the amazing things and showing them love. And then through those actions, when he preached, people wanted to listen to what he had to say. And so that's the route we decided to go, not to belittle or diminish door knocking. We decided that for our church, we were going to focus on be the hands and feet of Christ, show love to the community in whatever practical way we could that worked well in this culture that God brought us. And over the last 3 years, that has morphed into a pretty set monthly event that we do. And we've kind of weeded out the ones that don't work out so well and kept the ones that work very well. And now if you were to go in our community and say, do you know Meriden Hills Baptist Church? I'm pretty confident over 50%, if not closer to 60 or 70, would say, yes, we know them. And if you were to say, what do they stand for? They would probably say they love us. They love the community. They're a loving church. Now, I know that a lot of Baptists, that scares them. They want to be known for truth, not love. And yet, I'm not sure why, because Christ said the greatest commandment is to love. He said the second greatest commandment is to love. He said all the law and the prophets, all the truth of scripture falls under love. Not that love overshadows truth. You really don't have to choose one. You can have both. But if I want to be known for something, Christ said, they'll know you are my disciples by your love. So I'm just going to go with what Christ said and not worry about what other pastors and churches think I should do or how I should look. I want the community to know I'm a follower of Christ, and I want to follow the greatest commandment, which is love. And then as far as the truth goes, that's evidenced in the preaching on Sundays. That's evidenced in our lifestyles and the choices we make and how we treat people. We don't change philosophy and we don't change theology for the community, but we're not having those conversations of theology every time we give them something or do something for them. If they want to hear the truth, they know where to find it. And we are seeing a lot of people searching for it at Meriden Hills Baptist Church because they know that we love.
Okay. And what's cool, Caleb, I'm assuming that, you know, our church has been here for 34 years. In total, how long has the church been where you're at, Russ?
50. Over 40 years. Yeah, over 40. Going on 50. Close to.
Okay. So, Caleb, you probably have a little, since you're a church plant, I mean, you probably have, you know, when you're young, you've got a motivated group of people, right? And so they're, you know, if you have stuff to do, they're excited and this is new and this is great or whatever else. And so, Russ, I like what you said about, you know, it took a little while to convince them, right, that this was going to be the way to do it. So you started with the parades. I remember 5 years ago, that's what we did. We were in every, and you're right. I mean, you're another float out there. We would sing. And so that would be, people were like, oh, that's kind of cool. So we'd go to the patriotic ones and we went to the Veterans Day one and we did the Christmas ones and we got out a ton of stuff. But you're right. It was more just getting our people to take those tiny steps, you know, of kind of jumping in and stuff. And so that's a really important thing. Okay. So actual events that you do, you kind of alluded, Russ, to a couple that you do one every single month now. Is that kind of the pattern you've fallen into?
Okay.
So what are some of the ones then that, we won't talk about our losses here. We'll talk about wins. So you find the ones that don't work, and what you said is perfect. If it doesn't work in your church, then you don't need to do it just because someone else is doing it. Right.
You can
go on to the thing that works for your church and your community. Maybe you have a young community, maybe you have a small community, maybe you're in a big, you know, metroplex. So what are some of the ones that have done really well for you? And Caleb, you can talk about some things you've done in the community as well. I see a lot of what you're doing on Facebook, but just to let other people know about that. So Russ, what are some of the top ones, man?
The best ones are ones, in my opinion, where we are going to their homes. We're not going inside their houses, but we are bringing some form of love to their house. So Valentine's Day, I get on social media, we make a video, and some in the past I would pay to sponsor it and spread it out. I don't need to anymore. you know, people are sharing it now where they're doing all the sponsoring for me, which is the best kind, by the way. I usually skip sponsored videos, but when I see it shared from someone, I'll watch it or read it. And so I'm no longer really paid to advertise our videos that I make. I put them on a social media account and they're shared for me. But what we do is in February, we tell the community, hey, our church sees Valentine coming up. And as far as we're concerned, Valentine's is not purely a romantic holiday. It is a holiday to show love. And that's what we as Christians do. And that's who we are. We love and we want to love our community. And I say along the lines of, do you know someone, family, friend, coworker, neighbor, who's discouraged, needs to be shown love and reminded that they're cared about? Let us do that for them. Can you please contact us, call our church, or message us on our Facebook page and let us know the name and address of these folks, and we will send them a vase of flowers with a small note stating you are loved from Meriden Hills Baptist Church. That's it. That's all we do. And we have amazing response from the community. I have people still here in March saying, I received those flowers, never told you, but it meant the world to me. It was so nice that you guys did that. It made my day, changed my week, just to know that someone cared about them. And we didn't force ourselves into their door. Their address was and name was literally given to us. And that works really well. Another thing that we've done on Mother's Day is we say moms need to be given a chance to relax. Let us provide for them a meal. Give us the name of your mom, whether you're an adult and she's living by herself or whether you're a child and you're living with her. Give us the name and we will bring a meal for your mom hot. We're going to pick it up from the restaurant and deliver it for free to your mom. Happy Mother's Day. We did this month, which is it was the first time for us. We were replacing an event that didn't work. So we were doing one this year, a new one for March, and it's amazing. And that was, we got back on the video and I said, hey, I understand that a lot of families are struggling, trying to make connections. And you just want to spend time with people you love. You would sacrifice anything for them, but you feel like you're losing them. And we would love to help you make some memories by providing a family game night. So let us bring pizza and a board game to your house free of charge. We'll drop it off. And this time we have the families now contacting us, moms and dads, sons and daughters saying, can you please bring us the pizza and games for family game night? And so we get their address, we get how many are in their family, and they'll get one or two pizzas depending on the amount in their family. I have members dropping them off and just saying, here you go, you are loved, you know, have a great time, have a great family night. I got people sending us pictures on social media of them and their family eating the pizza, playing the board games, and lots of smiles and parents saying we made amazing memories. The kids love the board game. Thank you so much. And so just again, any activity where we are showing love, meeting them where they're at, and again, going back to what Christ did, that's what I see him doing. Yes, Christ did go to the mountain places and the people followed him, but that was only after he went to where they were, showed them love, then they followed him to where he went. And that's what we want to do. We want to go to where they're at, show them love. And then, I mean, we're a church. They know where we're at and we advertise that and they know where to find us to hear the truth. One other big one that is different, because of course we do the Thanksgiving meals, full meals delivered. I think a lot of churches do that in November. But in December, we don't just do a toy drive and give it to another nonprofit. We collect toys and also purchase toys and transform our fellowship room or hall into a winter wonderland. We call it a toy workshop, and we allow up to 100. This year we did 130. Children signed up, walked through our winter toy shop. So we just used a bunch of, you can buy them at Walmart or Michael's. They're skinny, kind of probably 4 foot fake trees. They're not the big, broad, fat Christmas trees that you put ornaments on. They're skinny and kind of tall. And we literally made a forest out of those. And then we got cotton, like stuffing for pillow. We put that on the ground to look like snow. We've got, we purchased a bunch of Christmas lawn decorations, put them inside, you know, dogs and reindeer and snow bunnies and, you know, koala bears holding presents, and they're in the snow around the trees. And then I had all my members wear an apron and an elf hat. So we didn't really go the Santa route. We went more the toy workshop route. Not that I would, you know, I think it's a problem too. It just was our decision. And kids would come in, they get a gift bag, they pick toys, they pick candy. And these are small items, small, like, you know, $1, $2 items that you buy cheaply at Walmart. And then they go to a spot where there's a large table with $20 to $30 item toys, Legos and Nerf guns. And they pick one of those And then they come around, get some more small items. They get, there's a picture location, and they're in and out in about 15, 20 minutes. But the experience that they have is for them, a lot of these kids are mind blowing, and they're connecting that experience to our church and Christians. And so, yes, we do events where we go to them, but I do like the occasional events where they come to us. But if they're going to come to us, it's got to be, for me, a really big deal.
Just a follow-up question, and Caleb, jump in if you have anything to, on, if just in case people are wondering out there, let's say someone has a smaller church and they're like, okay, budget constrained or whatever else. You said flowers on Valentine's Day. And so you're talking about not just like a single rose, you're talking about multi-flowers, right?
Three.
So like, what was the unit cost? Okay. What was about your cost per delivery on that, would you say?
You can get them at Sam's Club or Costco for $1 per stem. $3, and I buy my vases at the Dollar Tree online for $1. It's literally $4 to deliver one vase of three roses. And I just got the cards. I went to my local Stop and Shop, and I said, can I buy these? Well, Albertsons or whatever store you've got. And I just, because I bought them, you know, Sam's Club's not going to probably sell those little flower cards to you. So I just bought them from Stop and Shop. I told them what we're doing, and they just sold them to me at cost. And then we just wrote, you know, you are loved, and put them on the card.
Yeah, the reason why I want you to say that is when I start talking to people, churches just go, well, we don't have the budget for that. And this is scalable to any size church, right? So $4, okay, so let's say that you could do 25 mothers, right? That's it, you know, or 20, whatever it is. Just start somewhere.
First 20 that call us.
Yeah,
first
exactly.
20, first 25 that call us.
Yeah, okay, the meal on Mother's Day, did you actually deliver that on Sunday of Mother's Day, or did you do that like the week leading up to it?
We let it the Saturday before,
okay.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. That's really cool. That's good. And the family pizza and game night, that's one that I latched onto. That's the one that you were talking about on Facebook. And we're going to do that one this year, I think in the month of May or June. So we're really looking forward to doing that as well. Love sharing those ideas. Caleb, do you guys anything there or any events that you guys have started to do at your church?
Well, thanks again for joining us for this episode. And before I sign off, I do want to remind you, if you haven't yet, make sure that you're subscribed wherever you're listening to podcasts. We're available on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, and again, just about anywhere where you can find podcasts. And I do want to remind you one more time, make sure you sign up to get that free graphic of the week at churchmediahq.com. That's churchmediahq.com. And until next time, I do want to encourage you, it's time for your church to try something new, because it's so much better to fail at trying something incredible than it is to succeed at doing just the average. I'll see you next time right here on Church Media HQ.